express and actually be present with the people that are in front of us and actually love them well. Right? That doesn't give us the opportunity to see that someone is actually hurting in this moment. A couple years ago, I was at a restaurant with my wife and our kids, and we were enjoying some time together. And I remember, this was a season I'd come out of burnout, actually, right? And so God had been dealing with me in that, and I had been working through that, and just learning this rhythm of rest, which I have to continually learn. Because that's not my natural disposition. And so I'm sitting in the restaurant, and all of a sudden this woman walks by who is our waitress. And I remember God just prompted something. He says, tell her that I love her. And you know how it is, right? Like, in your mind, you're like, oh, man, I don't want to be the weirdo, right? Like, I don't want to be that person. Like, I don't want to have to tell, like, you know. He's like, oh, God, what are you talking about? So, like, I'm sitting, and remember, this is Buffalo, right? So this is really a secular place. So, but, like, and I just remember feeling like the Lord was saying, Elijah, tell her that I love her. See, there was nothing on her face. There was nothing that was going on with her that made it seem like she was just having, she was smiling. She was an amazing waitress. And so she's coming back and forth. And so, like, I'm like, God just keeps on saying, tell her that I love her. I was like, okay, God, okay. I'm here with my family, but okay. I'm trying to rest. No. And so I just said, hey, excuse me, ma'am. Listen, I don't know if this is weird. I'm a pastor, and I just want to let you know that, like, I've been sitting here, I've been watching you walk back and forth. And God just put this on my heart. He just wanted me to tell you that he loves you. He loves you, and he sees you. Those simple things. I didn't go into a long diatribe of things. This woman started bawling. I mean, it was crazy. Like, she starts heaving. She literally had to take the tray, right, and run to the back because she couldn't. Like, it was so intense. And I was like, oh my God, what have I done? You know, like, and she comes back. She's like, I'm so sorry, but you do not know I have been going through it. She's like, you don't know what's been going on in my life. And the fact that you said that God loves me, I have not been to church in so long. And I remember just telling her, like, man, I don't want anything from you. I didn't even tell her what church I was at. I was just like, I just felt like God was wanting me to tell you that. See, are you so busy with the pace that you're running that you can't even stop just to hear when God is trying to speak to you? And notice the people around you. This is the problem with the constant movement that we're in with the American hustle. This is the problem. God rests. God rests. Isn't it interesting that God creates in the creative narrative that God creates on day six, and the first day that we experience as human beings is day seven? A day of rest. That maybe God is trying to show us that actually for us, we should live in the rest that God created, and that everything should be on God, who is our supply. See, that's what rest orients our hearts and minds to do. It's to say, God, I will actually take my hand off of the plow, and I will say, you are the one who's in control. You are the one who feeds me. You are my supply. I will actually believe that you have me. The constant need to do more, to run more, to be busy, to have our minds plugged is saying that we can take care of ourselves. My kingdom, kingdom of me. When we rest, we say, no, God, this is your kingdom. I will live in that space. I will live totally, totally, and utterly in your dependence, the independence of you, not of myself. I will rest because you're the one who's leading me. This is what Jesus invites us into Adam Herschel, in an article called The Jewish Perspective, writes this about the 6 days in which God was creating. This is what he says. He says, 6 days a week we wrestle with the world, wringing profit from the earth. On the Sabbath, we especially care for the seed of eternity planted in the soul. Since such is true for those under the law, what of those who literally have the seed of life of the Spirit implanted in them? Should we not also fear lest we come short of cultivating what is within? Here's the big idea, guys. A heart that is not at rest is a heart is a heart that is in conflict with God. A heart that is not at rest, a soul that is not at rest, is a heart that is actually in conflict with God, because we exist out of God's good and beautiful plan for our lives. That we are constantly wrestling with God. And if you look at the scriptures over and over and over again, God stops people dead in their tracks so that they can listen. He stops them dead in their tracks. Or you want to keep moving forward, or you want to keep hustling, or you want to go on your own pace? Well, there'll be chaos. There'll be frustration. There'll be exile. Because again, when we are not at rest, when we are not taking time to say, God, I live in utter dependence of you, man, we find ourselves out of whack. It's so interesting that when you look at the Exodus narrative over and over and over again, we see this picture that God literally wanted to supply their needs. He wanted to supply. It was his joy to supply their needs. You need food? Here it is every day. Do not pick up more than you're supposed to, because you got to live in the dependence that tomorrow I will supply. You want water? It's here for you. Do not live on your own dependence, because each day you have to remember that it's on me. Like, I am going to provide. You want to know direction? Here, follow a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. This is the picture. God wants us to live in utter dependence on him. But that means we have to slow our pace. It's an interesting note a philosopher, Ken Shigematsu, writes, the Chinese character for busy combines the pictograph of the heart and death, suggesting that busyness kills the heart. I want you to think about these words one more time. Let's put up Matthew 11, 28 through 30 again. Jesus invites us into this space. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. This is the invitation for Jesus for all of us. Learn the way of Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus is to walk in the rest that Jesus walks in. Hey, have you noticed? Like, I love this story from the gospel writers, right, in the scriptures, that there's the storm that takes place, right? And all of a sudden, the disciples, most of them, which are fishermen, are in this boat, and they're losing their minds, because they're like, we're gonna die. If anybody should know how murky the waters are and how quickly something can go wrong, right, on these crazy waters, it's these guys. And so they're panicking in this moment. And then the scriptures, it's like this movie, just pan over to Jesus. And what is Jesus doing? The Bible says he's asleep on a pillow. He's asleep on a pillow. During the chaoticness of life, during what is Christ doing? He is resting. And then they're like, Jesus, wake up. We're going to die. And what does Jesus do? He stands up and says, peace be still. Peace be still. How are you in the craziest, most chaotic moments of your life? Have you accepted that invitation to live in the rhythm of grace that Jesus invites you to by being steady, by being at rest? When all chaos is going around you, when all the craziness is happening, are you at rest? How do people which are outside of the world, which live at a pace which is unthinkable, right? Like there's more people which are stressed out and that are frustrated and they don't know how to live, especially after pandemic. I just talked to a kid which is about to go to college. I was his youth pastor when he was in fifth grade. And he's about to go to college, and he called me the other day, and he's telling me about his story. And he's telling me that, like, man, I got so stressed out, I got so wired, and I felt like I needed to do. He says, hey, Pastor Elijah, I'm ashamed to tell you this. Like, I went to go take my own life. There is chaos. How are we responding as believers in Jesus when the world is telling them that, like to live this frantic pace, and if they're not, then they're failing? How do we respond in the chaos? Are we like Jesus? Are we resting on a pillow? And as everybody's saying, hey, the ship is about to sink, do you go up and say, man, I know, I have accepted the invitation of rest that Jesus invites us into. And so I can say to these chaotic moments, peace be still. See, that's a different testimony. That's a different testimony when all hell is breaking loose at your job, with your families, with all this stuff. You can just stand up and say, peace be still. Because I know who my God is. See, that's a different way of living. Jeremy Stefano writes about this idea in Matthew 11, 28. He says, Jesus' invitation, however, is to enter his Sabbath way of being in the world. Learn from me, he said. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls in a relentless push and pull world where self-protection and self-assertion appear to be the only way of survival. Jesus opens up another way. It is his way of living at rest within and at peace with all around him, secure in the calm assurance of the love of his Father. The way of keeping Sabbath with Jesus will free upper and inner emotional resources that might have otherwise been used selfishly. Now, those energies will be available for much more fruitful and loving ends. It requires that disciple heed more completely the ways and the promptings of the spirit life within, preferring his leading over against the rush of the fleshly impulse. There will then certainly be rest, inner peace for our soul. Basically, translation, when we are at rest, selfish way of living is released, and we have so much in the tank that we can give out to others. Yeah. But we can't give it out if we're not at rest. We're giving from a dry well. Yeah. We're giving from a dry well. If you are feeling dry this season, might I suggest taking up Jesus' invitation to rest? To slow your pace. Might I suggest to going to the one that created it all and then looked at the work of his hand and said, it is good. And he looked at you and he said, the first day that I want you to experience as my child is rest, is utter dependence on me. Know that I am your supply. I am the one who will fill you up. What does he say? He says, man, I got living waters. Right? Waters that will never run dry. Well, then why are we trying to feed people from wells, from ourselves, that are empty? How can we work from that place? How can we live from that place? And as believers, it is so crazy to see that sometimes the driest, most angry, most frustrated people are us when we have a living water of life that is given to us to live in that space. I'm just gonna be honest. Like, I preach this to myself because, man, I want to go further. I want to go more. I want to do more. I have to learn how to separate that and say, man, Elijah, that is your flesh. You're not living in the invitation. This is not easy. This is something that we daily have to go to Christ to do. This is something that we daily have to say, God, would you fill my cup? It's one of the reasons that I take in the mornings when I come to office, I just take a few minutes. I'll close my door and I'll just set my alarm for 5 minutes. And Jesus, speak to me. Fill my cup this morning. Fill my cup this morning. I did it this morning. I was depleted. Last night from the wedding in East Lansing, I found out there's a nail in my tire. I'm already tired, right? It's about like 8:30 in the evening. And so like my tire's flat and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm not gonna make it back. I'm texting Chad, hey man, you might need to get ready to preach, right? And so Chad's like, oh, I stay ready, you know what I'm saying? And so like I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So I go to the I go try to fill the air up and it's going, it's 16 PSI on my left tire. Right, so then I go to the local AutoZone there, which was late. The guy starts feeling around my tire. There's a nail in the tire. It's like deep in, and so we don't have any tools, and I don't even have a spare tire. So I'm like, man, God, what's going to happen? I already slept like 2 hours that night. I'm over here doing this wedding, and I'm just like, I'm fried. I'm exhausted. And so like all this is going on, and so you know we finally get the tire, put the sludge in the tire, I put it in, and the guy literally tells me, he's like, hey, listen, you're driving back 2 hours. I'm just gonna be honest with you, like the tire may blow up or you might make it. I'm like, well, thank you. I'm like, all right, I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? You're really good at your job, sir. And so I make it here and I struggle sleeping all night. Like I just can't sleep. And I come into the office and I'm dry. And I'm dry. And I said, God, like I need to tap into your rest. I kid you not. I was in there doing jumping jacks. And I'm like, all right, God, I need you, Jesus. I need your rest. I need your rest. It was so funny because somebody said, man, you're really energetic today. That ain't me. That ain't me. I'm entering into the invitation of rest that Christ has called me into. See, here's the results. When we enter into the rest of Jesus, what we do, what we find is that we find freedom from addictions to busyness, rush, hurry, workaholism. We find space to delight in God and relationships, that we actually take time in the seasons that we're in to reflect. Right now, my kids are just adorable, and every day I am just finding just the joy, the utter joy of just being with them and understanding they'll never be 1 and 3 again. Yes. It's so interesting as a young parent to listen to older parents who say, be careful, it happens really fast. And I think that's true for sure. I've never heard a parent say, I took precious time for every single moment with my children. And I stretched it out as long as I could because I knew it would happen fast. To enjoy meals. Or just to enjoy the good gift of meals. Come on, how many people love to eat in here? Yeah. To enjoy meals. Have you ever been looking forward to a meal? Like you're like, man, I can't wait to like eat this, but you're so busy when you started eating it. After you're done, you're like, what did that taste like again? Like you just ate it so fast, you're like, I was looking forward to that. I didn't even enjoy the meal that I was eating. To slow our pace down, to enjoy God's beautiful and good creation. We have some of the best scenery around here, just to walk through and just say, God, I just, like, this is your handiwork. Like, this is beautiful. That we savor the moment instead of rushing to the next task. That we take time to delight in others without the stress of our to-do list. Right? Let me tell you something. I couldn't wait till Joel came back. Right? Like, I was so excited, man. Like, I mean, I'm glad that you were on your, but I wanted to talk to him. I was like, man, how was it? And we were talking in the back. I was like, so I saw on your Instagram that you were eating pizza, you know? And I'm like, I was eating it with you, you know what I mean? And then he started telling me about this lobster tail and all this. I'm like, come on. Because I wanted to enjoy with my friend the good gift that God has brought him into. Are we so busy that it's like, hey, Joel, thanks, man. All right, you got worship, da-da-da. Okay, you got this. Do you take time to enjoy what God is doing in other people's lives? To express our love for God by growing dependence and trust in God who cares for all the things as we rest. We remind ourselves that we are human beings and not human doings, and that there are limits to our energy, that we have to go back and continue to be replenished, and that God is trying to heal us from our tendency to measure ourselves by what we accomplish. Here it is. I think God is calling us to build margin in our lives. So here's a couple of ways. Here's five just quick ways that we can practice this rhythm. My hope is that through all these rhythms that we go through, right, that we can give you some just tangible ways. You don't have to use them specifically, but these are just ways that you can think through practicing this rhythm of rest. Don't make a to-do list for one day a week. Now, some of you A-type personalities are like, I can't do that. Can't do that. I have a to-do list for when I breathe in and out. but giving yourself space to say, today, I'm just going to enjoy. I'm going to sit back and relax. Sabbath by enjoying restful living, life-giving activities by yourself or with others, whatever makes you feel alive. So this last Friday, me, Tracy, and Nate Schultz, and Tracy's brother, we played in a charity golf outing, and that was just fun, and we were just laughing at how terrible we all were and how amazing Nate Schultz is, like, you know? And we just enjoyed time together. And we found ourselves, I found myself not even thinking about, like, my golf score or whatever, or how I was doing. And I just enjoyed getting to know Tracy a little bit better. We rode in the same cart, and we were just talking. Like, we had to be told over and over again, hey, it's your turn on the tee. Just enjoying time with yourself or with others. Build margin into your daily week schedule. Develop an intentional rhythm of work and rest. So this does take intentionality. It does take having to plan, like, this is the moment that I will rest, and then live in that rest, right? Get more sleep. That one's for me, in Jesus' name. Choose to drive or check out at the grocery store in the slow lane. Have you ever been at the store? You don't really have anywhere that you're supposed to go, and then you find yourself in line, and you're just like, what's the shortest line? You know, you're on your tippy toes. How can I get to a shorter line? Then you get in that line, and that one's long too, or that person has like 1,000 groceries. One thing that I've started doing, instead of picking up my phone and trying to be busy, instead of looking at the magazine or trying to scour, one thing I've started doing is, and I've been doing this practice for the last couple of years, is just asking God, who do you want me to speak to today? What is this? What is a moment that you want me to encourage somebody to love on somebody? Like, I'm just become intentional with that moment. I had a Christian counselor who was working with me after my burnout. He's like, this is one of his challenges to me. He was like, just be still, be present. Yeah. God, who do you want me to engage with this morning? See, God is inviting us into a space of rest and to live the way that he lives, so that when the chaos of every day comes, we are ready. We can stand up and we can say, peace, be still. I want to pray for you this evening from the Book of Common Prayer. And so would you stand with me and just close your eyes? I want to pray this prayer over you. And would you do me a favor? Even though this is a little bit different, we're going to end today just a little bit different. I want you to put out your hands in front of you in a posture of receiving. Because I think some of us need to receive that, because some of us are living a restless life. And where there is restlessness, there will always be chaos. Where there is restlessness, there will always be pain. But where there is rest, we will always find Jesus. And some of us need to just receive that God wants us to live in utter dependence. So your hands up out in front of you in a posture of receiving, open. Don't clench your hands, because we are releasing those heavy things that we are carrying. And saying, God, I give this to you. Let me pray this prayer of you. For the good use of leisure, God, in the course of this busy life, give us times of refreshment and peace, and grant that we may so use our leisure to rebuild our bodies and renew our minds, that our spirits may